Sorry it took so long to get up here. Good to see everyone here at church this morning. We're number five in our study of I Am. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 11. We're going to be reading a lengthy passage, but it is important to read John chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which openeth the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon your word. Your word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, it goes and it accomplishes what you desire for it to accomplish. We pray that that will happen in our hearts this morning, that your word will encourage our heart, as well as do the spiritual surgery that is necessary. We pray your blessing upon this whole service, that it will honor and glorify you. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now that was a powerful statement. It's one thing to say there's going to be a resurrection and one day we'll have eternal life. But when a person says, "I myself am the resurrection and the life," that is a powerful statement. And it's a statement that should sink down into our minds and find its way down into our hearts. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. We're going to look at four things this morning. First, we're going to look at the meaning of the statement. The meaning of the statement. What does it mean when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life"? The word resurrection has the idea of standing up, especially after a period of sleep, rising up, standing to raise, to live again. That's the physical meaning of the statement. There is going to be a resurrection. But Jesus went further in his statement, meaning more than just to live again. He said, "I am the resurrection. I can bring back to life that which is dead." The spiritual meaning that we can look at this morning is that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. We're told in the book of Ephesians that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, but we've been made alive again. So not only is there a physical resurrection, but there is a spiritual resurrection. A resurrection that can take place in your heart and in your life. You can be saved from your sins. The Bible tells us that we are in bondage to sin. Jesus said, "If the Son make you free, you are free indeed." So Jesus claims to be God. "I am." The same "I am" in the Old Testament, Moses at the burning bush, "I am that I am," will send you to my people. Jesus is the resurrection. If there's anything that is brought back to life, it's because of God. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also said, "I am the life." When we think of eternal life, we think about living forever. And he mentions that in this passage. the fact that we will live again. We are eternal creatures. We were created by God. The Bible says that God took man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We have a beginning, but we will never have an end. That was because God gave us life. God gave us life. Imagine to live forever and ever and ever and ever. It's hard to wrap your mind around. 1,000 years from now, it's long enough for a year. 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. It will just be begun when we go to heaven. Physically, Jesus is the life. The only reason we are breathing this morning is because God has allowed us to breathe. God is a God of mercy and love and loves life. He loves life. But it goes beyond just a life that starts and never ends. Eternal life, especially in the book of John, refers to the quality of life that God gives a person. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now we are alive unto God. The quality of life that we can enjoy, spiritual life, enjoying fellowship with God. What is life? It is abiding in Jesus Christ. That's what life is all about. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, when Jesus will appear, who is your life. Did you catch that statement? He is your life. There is no playing around with God. God is eternal, and the quality of life that he gives, the spiritual life, is amazing. It's eternal life that begins now when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Combining the two, he is the author and cause of the resurrection of the dead, whether we're speaking physically or spiritually. And he is the life, the source of life, natural life that we have, spiritual and eternal, of the living, both in this present world, God is your life, and in the world to come. So when Jesus gave these few amount of words, I am the resurrection and the life, it was a powerful statement. Now, the proof of that statement, it's easy to say something. Jesus said, which is easier? He was about to do a miracle. To tell a person that his sin's forgiven, or to tell him to get up and walk. Jesus said, I can take care of both. Both the forgiveness of sins and the fact that I am who I say that I am. Jesus proved it. He said, I am the resurrection. One day he was with his disciples and they were about to enter into a village, and the name of the village was Nain. There was a lot of sadness in the little village of Nain because a widow had just lost her only son. Her son had died. Now, with her being a widow, Her husband had died, and that, for some women, almost it was a message of doom because of the fact that the man was the one that usually provided for them. Now, of course, the church, the synagogues would help out, but there was no source of income. But she had a son. That's the good news. Now her only son had died. And there was a funeral procession going on. A lot of weeping, a lot of crying, a lot of pain. Even with those who knew the lady and knew the son, there was pain. Jesus walked up to them and said, "Stop crying." Now that took some nerve if you look at it from man's point of view. You don't go up to somebody who's grieving for a dead person and say, "Don't cry." And then he said, "Get up." And the son that was dead was now alive. That wasn't the only time. There was a man named Jairus who was well known among the Jews. His daughter was laying in the bed dying. There's nothing that the doctors could do. She was going to die. So Jairus ran to Jesus Christ and said, "You know, Jesus, maybe he can do something. Maybe he can stop her from dying." Well, on the way to his house, a woman needed healing, and Jesus was interrupted. He healed the lady and then started to go to the house. Well, they said, "She's dead, so don't even bother. Don't bother the master. He doesn't need to come." Well, Jesus went to the house, and the Bible says that he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. What a miracle that was. No one but God can raise a person from the dead. Then there was Lazarus in this passage that we've read. He went up to the grave and he said, "Take away the stone." Then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He who is dead came forth. Nobody but God can do that. Jesus said, "Father, I'm glad that you have heard me. You always hear me. But for the sake of the people, I wanted them to see the glory of God." He could have stopped Lazarus from dying. He delayed his coming, and his disciples said, "Well, maybe it's time for us to go." Jesus said, "It's time now to go." He's sleeping. And they said, "Well, he's doing okay if he's sleeping." And the Bible says that he plainly told them, "Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go so that God will be honored and glorified." The fourth person that he raised from the dead, he raised himself from the dead. That's a proof of God. It's one thing for a man to pray to God and say, "Raise this person." But when you die and then you raise yourself up, he said, "I give my life. I lay it down so that I can pick it back up." He is the resurrection. He also is the life. One day he was talking in the synagogue and teaching the people, and there was a man there that was demon-possessed. And all of a sudden, during the service, we're told that in the service, the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching. The reason was because he gave his own authority in what he was saying. They had a custom that they would quote rabbis and say that the teachers have said this, the scholars have said this. Jesus came and said, I say this. And they were just beside themselves because they had never heard teaching like that. And all of a sudden in the church service, the demon-possessed man said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Holy One of God? Already admitting who Jesus was, Jesus didn't need for a demon to confess that. So he told the man to be quiet and for the demon to come out. And the demon came out. He gave the man new life. New life. A new quality of life. He was demon possessed, a slave to Satan. But now he has new life. Freedom from sin. Freedom. True freedom. Free to serve God and love God supremely. On another occasion, a man named Simon invited him to come to his house and eat. That was a custom, just like it is today, where you can invite somebody to come over and eat at your house. Well, as they were eating, in the cold atmosphere of a lack of love of Jesus Christ and a lack of acknowledgement of sin and a lack of I need to be changed, a sinful woman came in with a bad reputation. She began to wipe his feet with her hair. And Simon said, Lord, that woman's a sinner. You should know that. That woman, two contrasts. There was two different responses. A self-righteous response from Simon. And then there was the response of the woman who experienced new life. Because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. On another occasion, Matthew was a tax collector. We don't like to pay taxes. Sometimes we hear of states in the United States that, they don't have a particular kind of tax, maybe a state tax. Trust me, they make it up in some other way. It may be some other kind of tax that they do because they've got to be able to have money to run. Well, Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus one day came up to him and said, follow me. Follow me. The Bible says he left his profession and experienced true life. So it's been proven that Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. Now our third thing that we're going to look at, the results of the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. In relation to the Savior, the results, it proved that he was indeed God. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Acts 10:40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. It proved that he was God. It proved it. It was also a springboard to his exaltation. The Bible tells us as he left this earth, he left the Comforter with us, but he went to heaven. And the Bible says that he is exalted on the right hand of God. The fact that he is the resurrection and the life, he is exalted. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It also marked the beginning of his headship of the church. He is our head. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In relation to the believer, what does the fact that he is the resurrection and the life mean to us? It's a guarantee of our justification. Who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We experience a guarantee of present day power and strength to live the Christian life. That same power that resurrected the Lord, that is power in and of himself, it gives us strength to do what is right, to please God, to love God, to share God. It's a guarantee of fruitful labor. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a guarantee of our own resurrection, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Finally, it is a guarantee of future blessings in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 describes our bodies. We'll have perfect bodies. We will be resurrected. And it's nothing but good news for the Christian. Now, in relation to the sinner, it is a warning of coming judgment. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Finally, in relation to the devil, it seals his doom forever. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. The doom of the devil. He's the prince, the power of the air presently. But even he has to submit to God. Job in the Old Testament, he wanted to try to get Job to curse God. So he had to go to God and get permission to do whatever he did. The devil is powerful, but our God is much more infinitely powerful than the devil. Now, the fourth thing and last thing that we'll do, the application of this statement according to this passage, John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44, describe how we can live with confidence even in the midst of heart-wrenching circumstances. We need to approach the Lord because He is the I Am, because He is the resurrection and the life, our approach to Him. He is approachable. Both Mary, Martha, anybody who wanted to approach God, God allowed them to do so. God loves us as human beings. God loves us as His children. We have the opportunity day after day to approach Him just like Mary and Martha did and worship at His feet. We can remember the assurances that God is who He says that He is. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And because of that, no matter what happens to us in this life, we have someone to turn to who is able to help us. Even when death comes, we will one day be resurrected. God is real. God is not a fake. There was a man in New York State who decided, instead of going to the Department of Motor Vehicles, he would make his own sticker to put on his license plate. He wrote on the piece of paper and scribbled it in. They said it was even hard to read, but they found out that in January 2020, it would expire, according to the man who scribbled it in. Wasn't too long before he was pulled over by a New York State trooper. God is not fake. God is real. And we can remember the assurance that He is. We can trust God. In verse 27, she said, "Yes, I believe that You are the resurrection and the life." And by the way, this is a tremendous confession of faith. On the level of Peter, she said, "I believe that Thou art the Christ. I believe You can raise the dead. I believe You are the Son of God, which should come into the world." We have every reason to trust in God. We can't leave room for doubt. We must trust God. We can't leave not even a smidgen of an inch of the door open. Chad Morris loved to have pictures of bears. He was pretty fascinated with bears. He went to Gatlinburg recently, and he sort of wanted to see bears while he was there, because in the Great Smoky Mountains, you do find bears. Well, he went walking, and when he came back, there was a family of bears that was getting into his car. He had left the windows down. So there's Mama, then there's three of her children. They all wanted to take a ride, I guess. They got into the car. There was space left open for them to get in. If you give space to the devil, if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. Trust in God. God is trustworthy. Worship the Lord, just like Mary and Martha did. They got on their knees and they worshiped Jesus Christ. We have every opportunity to worship God. Let's take advantage of those opportunities. He's the resurrection. He's the life. He is God. So we can worship Him. We can experience the fellowship. Jesus cares. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Shows you a lot about how Jesus cares. And because He cares, you can enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus as the resurrection and the life, obey the Lord. Everything that Jesus said in this passage was obeyed. As a result, God was glorified. A man was raised from the dead that had been dead for over 3 days. Proof that he was dead. So obey God. Obey precisely. In the past week or so, in Oregon, an Oregon State University student died because she wanted to take a picture at a popular mountain overlook. She stepped over a retaining wall, slipped, and then fell to her death. There is danger when we do not obey the Lord. We can glorify the Lord because He alone deserves the glory. God was glorified in this passage. Finally, we can enjoy the freedom. Jesus looked at Lazarus, who still had the grave clothes on, and He said, "Loose him." There's freedom in serving Jesus Christ. We become servants to righteousness, servants to the Lord. Enjoy that freedom. This also happened within the last week or so. At Morehouse College, there was a graduation, and they had a speaker, Robert F. Smith, who made a surprise announcement, and perhaps you saw it in the news. He is a billionaire, not a millionaire, but a billionaire. This man looked at the graduating class of 2019 and said, "Your college debt is gone. I paid for it. You don't have any college debt." I believe it was up to like $40 million that he ended up spending to set people free from their debt. God does that for us. He sets us free. I am the resurrection and the life. God sets us free. Remember, I am the resurrection and the life. When you have trouble this coming week, remember your Savior. When you experience happiness and joy this week, remember you have a Savior who is the resurrection and He's the life. What a God. Every area of your life, God can be there for you. Everything that you experience, God can be there for you. We have an amazing Savior. A powerful statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We know that you're the resurrection and the life because you have worked in our hearts. The Bible tells us of real experiences that you gave people resurrection. You gave them the life. You even resurrected yourself from the dead. And you proved that you are God. You proved that you can do anything. All things are possible with you. I pray that you will help us in the coming days, weeks, years to understand more and more that statement that you are our lives. You are the life. You are the source of life, abundant life, that you give through the Holy Spirit in producing the fruits of the Spirit in our hearts. That's the abundant life. Having communion, abiding with you. We pray that we will enjoy our walk as we walk toward heaven, knowing that in the end, we will spend forever with you. And you will be giving us that life because you are God and you are able. In Christ's name, amen.